Good morning. It is it's a privilege to be here and to to be here with family. Jay, I really appreciated your song leading this morning. I told my wife it's something special to be a part of a family that's willing to grow and to learn new things together, and a new song is part of it. Made my morning when the video kept going there a bit. That's funny. We are pretty human, aren't we? You know, this morning I feel led to share on a subject that is a little bit complicated. Complicated for me to talk about, and maybe complicated to listen to. So I beg for your grace as I try to share about the source of peace being God the Father and what He's done in us and through us, and not our own performance or my own performance on Him. I realize that when we talk about our potential to either be workaholics or lazy, there's ditches on both sides, and it can feel tedious to figure out where I belong in the middle. And it's the piece that I've been working on. So this message this morning is aimed at Chad. You all are welcome to listen in. I'm not here to shame anyone about working too hard or about being too lazy. I'm here to help us focus on where our source of peace ought to be, where our peace should come from in the process. So I pray that is what comes across. Thank you, Howard, so much for reading the word. Verse 3 out of Isaiah 26 is where I'm pulling from primarily. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I think that it's easy for us to struggle with working out our own salvation, to work it out by being workaholics. And it's so important to know why, to know our why we're doing what we're doing. I was struck with the fact that we must choose and practice living both proactively and protectively, sacrificing for those that we love, but not seeking significance in spiritualized self-harm. We must learn to rest in the certainty that God loves us much more than He needs us. I personally struggle with rest. I battle the guilt that I associate with rest. Maybe it's partly from my Germanic Mennonite background. Maybe it's from the years that we spent on the mission field. But the story of Loic Laferme, it really struck me as a wake-up call. I came across a documentary about a man named Loic Laferme. He was a French world record holder in freediving. To be more precise, he's a dead world record holder. Laferme passed away in 2007. While trying to beat his own 561 feet depth record with no respiration devices. He had only the air in his lungs, and he was propelled downward by a motorized pulley system. I was kind of amazed at the sheer obsession that the man had with finding the limits of his physical and mental capacities, then surpassing them over and over. Each dive was Loic's death-defying statement that nothing was too much for him, and that he would not let the universe determine what he could and couldn't withstand. One of the last questions that was asked him in the documentary that was perplexed, why do you do it? And his answer was sobering. It was a soft, awe-filled smile. He said, I cannot stop until I found out how far I can go. And nobody knows exactly what happened in that day that he died, but after 8 minutes underwater, he was found unconscious by a friend and trainer, kind of floating back to the surface where his wife and children waited in boats. He had found his body's limit, and finding it had destroyed him. There have been a lot of times in my life when I've wondered how deep my Loic Laferme tendencies go. Why is it so important to say yes as often as possible, defying the no's that have been imposed on me? Have I been drill sergeanting myself into something called extreme ministry? Do I keep pushing for my limits to get rid of the fear of failure or the fear of lessness? There's no verse that I can point to that says, I will be rewarded for working myself so hard that my body and spirit give out. But what is it that pulls us to extreme overwork? I think that in our years of working overseas, that was common for us to know that people are behind us and people are supporting us, but what does that drive? Came across some responses from missionary kids who listen to their parents and why they do what they do. And missionary kids said that their parents would tell them, well, people don't give for us to sit around doing nothing, or we should always be available no matter the hour or the day. Missionaries tend to deal with newsletter pressure, proving to their supporters that something is being accomplished with the funds that they're sending. The statement, I'd rather burn out than rust out. Folks back home are sacrificing and working extra to support us, so how can we do any less? Essentially, the motivating message was this. Pour yourself out until you have nothing left to give. This is the mark of a faithful believer. It elevates you in the eyes of your Creator. Your conscious self-destruction is good and noble. That can be the message sent, and that's not true, is it? I think that it has potential to drive us to darkness. I work with a lot of kids, but that work ethic overdrive, whether it's for spiritual ministry or simply work to achieve, it has a powerful effect on the children that I work with. I think it's important to note that workaholics aren't just spiritual. Sometimes it's for money too. Like we can be pretty fond of being very productive. But I see a spectrum of work ethic dysfunction that bleeds into the adult years and gets passed on to their own children. But kids can become broken. They either become broken overachievers or deliberate underachievers. And both responses represent seriously disordered thinking. So why is it that we work so hard? Do we do it out of a conviction, or do we feel the scrutiny of others in our communities? Do we fear the condemnation if we fail to live up to other people's expectations? You know, for people who are meant to live as Jesus did, we're sometimes pretty quick to overlook the example that he gave us. Even Jesus took breaks from his ministry here on earth. If people were healed simply by touching the edges of his garments, just think of how many people could have been helped if he had stayed on the job. How many people could have survived whatever was plaguing them if he didn't take the initiative to go off alone? But he did exactly that. He gave himself permission to step back, and instructing us by his example to do the same. Preventable burnout is not heroic. It's mismanagement of the capacities that we've been given. Having needs isn't a flaw. It's a feature that God gave us when he designed us. It is easy for any one of us, for me included, to work myself until there's nothing left. And the conviction that I have been working with and what I'm wanting to share today is that peace doesn't come from accomplishment. That peace and fulfillment doesn't come in the process of pouring out everything until we've ruined ourselves. That peace comes from the one who made us and in recognizing his love for us. God gave us the directions for Sabbath, for taking a rest. Corrie ten Boom once said, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. And truth, there's can be that way. Both sin and busyness have the exact same effect. They cut us off from our connection to God and other people, even from our own soul. Busyness is perhaps the one ditch that we fall into as we seek to prove our dedication to the Lord, or as we seek to prove our dedication to our families. We want to be good stewards, and somehow we have excused our selfishness or our greediness in that statement pretty commonly. We're just trying to be stewardly of the opportunities that we have financially, so we will work hard to make more money because we should, and we miss God's goal in providing rest for us. So the other ditch, yeah, there's other sides of this too, is to simply be lazy, right? We can be quick to say God doesn't want us overworked, so we're going to simply rest. And that's not necessarily productive either, right? Sometimes I think we work hard so that we can make our rest more fun. Galatians 6, verse 9, it's a verse we're pretty familiar with. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. There is good work to be done. And I know that I get to see more of the work that needs to be done because of my role here as an elder. I get to look at what it takes to keep this building running and the programs running that Calvary Chapel's involved in. And I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to all of you. I'm so grateful for all that you all are doing. I want to encourage you not to be weary in doing well. Because the prison ministry, the Dorcas Sisters sewing, the groundskeeping, the bill paying, the vacuuming, there's a lot of work that goes into Calvary Chapel. The Sunday school teaching, the youth sponsoring, there's a lot of work that goes into Calvary Chapel. And you all have been amazing. Ephesians, we often apply Ephesians 4:28 to our lives. I don't know that it's necessarily a direct application, but that's the verse, you know it too. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. We are instructed to labor and to give to others. You maybe didn't steal before, so I'm not instructing you to steal no longer. But we are instructed to labor with our hands. So I don't want us to fall into the ditch of being lazy either, right? I believe that the importance is to know why. To know our why. Why are we doing what we're doing? Is it to prove our worth to God? Is it to prove that we are valuable to our fellow man? Or is it an act of worship and obedience? God has given me a certain set of skills. They might be pretty minimal, but they're what he's given me. And it's my responsibility to use those for his glory. There is no shame in recognizing that God loves you the way he made you. But we have to know that the Lord will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is stayed on him. That God has placed me on this earth with the skills he's given me to use them for his kingdom. And if I seek his face and have my mind stayed on him, that there is peace in that. It doesn't take 6 weeks of vacation, and it doesn't take 0 weeks of vacation. It is not do nothing, and it's not do everything, but it is to be obedient in him. John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Let's not be afraid of what others think. Let's not be afraid of what God thinks. But let's be obedient to what he's called us to do. Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful." We are one body. We're a pretty big body, actually, and that's not a fat joke. This is the body that God's called you to be a part of. And it's a blessing and it's a privilege. You all make me cry when I think how much of a privilege it is to be a part of a group that knows us and still allows us to serve. And the fact that you are patiently and respectfully sitting and listening to me speak is a privilege. It's a gift to be a part of a body that gives each other a turn to share what God's showing them. So I thank you. Thank you for being this connection. I have maybe 5 points. As we think about the concept of rest or work, instructions or guidance. One, study the importance of rest. As demonstrated and described in the Bible, the emphasis God places on Sabbath and the way Jesus embodies wise boundaries. People, I think that we, as predominantly German background Mennonites, need to study the importance of rest. Know what it is and what it isn't. Two, pause regularly and for long enough to find stillness and listen to God's voice. God does speak. We simply need to listen. I've been blessed by the Experiencing God Bible study that a number of y'all have gone through. The reminder is consistently to pause and be aware of what God's doing. God's at work. Let's join Him in action. Number three, assess your needs and health, physical, emotional, and spiritual at regular intervals. So I don't know if for you that's once a month or once a week or just at regular intervals, maybe even given those you love and know you the best, the permission to speak of the harmful compulsion and idols they see in you. So you may want to tell your spouse or your good friend, I need you to help me analyze if I'm living well or not living well. Number four, experience the wisdom and blessing of saying wise yeses and noes for all the right reasons. We have a new church year coming up, and that means a whole list of volunteer job positions. I beg you to say wise yeses and noes to those positions. We need your help. It's true that as a body, we don't function without people doing the jobs, but we'd love for you to say yes for the right reasons and no for the right reasons. And five, surrender your drive for achievement or pleasure and enter instead into intimate relationship with the Creator who desires not only your faithfulness, but also your flourishing. Know that God built you the way He did to flourish. And that requires adequate rest and adequate service. So I pray that what I've shared this morning doesn't leave you confused. Our peace is in Him. Our peace comes from a relationship with the Lord, not from performance or the shunning of performance, not from saying yes too often or no too often. May God give you wisdom. May God guide you through the week ahead as you say yes and as you say no to what He's given, the decisions that He gives you and the opportunities that come your way. Would you stand with me in prayer? Our Father in heaven, we are frail and prone to wonder. But Lord, you desire a relationship with us. You desire our growth and our flourishing. And sometimes, Lord, that means that we have to say no to an opportunity. So Lord, I pray that you would give wisdom and guidance. Help us to find our peace only in you and not in our performance. Lord, I thank you for the many, many lives that are lived out through the weeks here at Calvary Chapel. Thank you for this body and the home that it is for many of us. For your blessing, in Jesus' name, amen.